Turn to John 17, 17. John 17, 17. We're going to talk today about the centrality of the Word. So we're going to give that a few minutes, which is not enough. We could actually talk on this theme. I was mentioning this to Pastor Wes. We could go a long time on bibliology, on the Word of God. John 17, 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. John 17, 17. It's our Lord's high priestly prayer. He's before the Father. He's talked about the work that he'd been sent to do, that he'd finished it in verse 4. So we have this stepping into this conversation he's having with the Father. He's praying for the disciples, and he's saying this, sanctify them in thy truth, or in the truth. Your word is true. Let's pray. Loving Father, help us in this moment. Stir our hearts to where you would have us to be stirred. Help us to see what we need to see. Help me to speak as I need to speak. So, Father, for these folks and myself, we're waiting to hear from you. We're asking that you, through your Spirit, would take us where we need to go. Help us each to respond to the teaching as we should, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I haven't seen some of you since the last decade. Happy New Year. And see, what a great place to be to start out the new year, the first Sunday of the new year in the Lord's house, the first Sunday of this decade in the Lord's house. So you guys, you're good today. You made a great move. But Happy New Year. I trust that 2020, God will accomplish great and mighty things in this body of believers, that every one of us. I am praying that and trusting God, that God's going to do wonderful things. And so we've gathered today. What a great way to start. Praising the Lord, having an opportunity to be with God's people, to sit around the Lord's table, remember this great redemption that we have in Christ. Because you know what? Life keeps coming, doesn't it? Day after day. It just comes. It's easy, I find, to let something creep in to my life that ought not to be there. And I'm sure you've maybe have that same issue at times where, you know, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, where am I at here? What am I thinking? Have you ever noticed that there are things you put off and you know about them, but you just keep putting them off, I noticed the other day that when I go slow in my pickup, there's a sound in the back. It kind of sounds like almost like a brake holding up, but it's a little different. I couldn't figure it out, and I'm like, I got to get this taken care of. One of the rare times that I actually, you know, acted on something that I need to, and tomorrow that's going to get fixed. But if I let it go, you might see me on the side of the road saying, you know. But there are times when there are things that come our way, and we just need to look at them and respond to them and do the right thing. We are beginning a sermon series, and I've entitled it Under Further Review. And what we're going to do is just kind of examine some of these, I'd say, foundational aspects of the Scripture, doctrines, truths that we come across, and we need to really put our lives under the lens and the spotlight of the Scripture. And so that's where we're beginning today. We'll look at the Word this week and next week. I don't know if we'll go the third week or not. We'll see. But I want us to examine these issues in the Word and our lives, but also we'll be talking about relationships, forgiveness. We're going to talk about the church and, you know, just some very basic things that we're going to put under the microscope of the Word. So that's where we're beginning this new year. Today we're talking about the centrality of the Word of God in the life of the believer and its influence. We've heard our Lord's words here, but I just want to make a statement to begin with. It's simple, but it's profound. By the Word of God, or by the Word God speaks. By the Word God speaks. Let's remember, we're a Bible church. That's the foundation of who we are, and it is the Word of God that we stand on. You might say, well, why is this important? Well, it's important because we're clearly aiming to see the lost saved, to see believers grow into maturity as they serve the Lord within the local body. And if that's going to happen, then we need to have the word before us. Now I'm going to remind you again some things about that which you know, but our teaching and preaching has as its core the revelation of God to man as set forth in the Bible. Now I want to say just a bit about that, but we interpret the Bible in its historical, grammatical, and literal methodology, not going beyond the meaning of the words. This keeps us and keeps one from spiritualizing a text or seeing an allegory in the text where it's not stated. And that's where we're at. We're just going to look at the word. We're going to look at its meaning and context and so forth. It needs to be mentioned. We take a dispensational a look at Scripture as well. We stand on that. And we see the obvious differences from the book of Genesis to, let's say, the book of Colossians. Book of Exodus, book of Leviticus, where you have the law, and when you go to worship, you bring an animal or something, and there's blood to sacrifice. Could be a grain offering. But we see things very different. We're in a church age of grace today. The one and only sacrifice has been made, Christ on the cross. And so that's where we're at. We believe God's word is inspired, it's infallible, and it is inerrant in the original writings. That's how we view the word of God. One's hermeneutic, or the art and science of biblical interpretation, is vital, how you approach it. Because the Bible can be made to say anything. Do you realize that? It can be. It can be made to say anything. But we need to rightly divide the word of truth. And if it's rightly divided and understood, interpreted, we can know the meaning clearly of the passages in the Scripture. And I'm saying this because the Scripture is central to our lives and this ministry. And I just want to remind you of this. This is where we begin. So not only ours, but it's central in our Lord's ministry as well. And I want you just to think about this a minute. So here's by the word of God, by the word God speaks, and we think of his revelation. What we have in the Bible is the living and authoritative word of God. His revelation to us is printed. We have it on printed form today. We can hold it in our hands. This is a tremendous blessing, you guys. It really is. And we take it for granted. I don't know how many Bibles I have. I have access and access and access to Bibles. Many believers today, people around the world, don't have that. I'll tell you what, we're really blessed to have that for sure. But God communicates to people in his word. And we believe the word of God is inspired of him, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We don't believe people just wrote. I think it's obvious if you know and read the Bible, you can understand that all Scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. That's what the word of God does for us as we open it and study it. What's that all about? Well, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. This is how we grow. This is how God refines us. This is the work of the Spirit and the Word of God. It does these things. See, it is profitable. It does reprove. It does correct. Why? What's that all about? Well, our thinking can get flawed in a hurry. And I today will probably remind you of stuff you say, I know that. But you need to be reminded as well, just like I do. We need to keep coming back to it again and again. Again, 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Know this first of all, and this we're thinking of inspiration here, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. We have God speaking in his word. That's the point here. It's his revelation. The Spirit moved in men. They gave us the word. It was recorded for us. We have that. I have a New American Standard here. It's a solid translation of the original. Now, I can be very sure that this is a great translation of what God has intended for me to hear. So, it's his revelation. And this is basic, I know, but God speaks through his word. There's this revelation, and we see his will there as well. Think about this. If you could interview any person today, Who would it be and what would you ask them? So if you could have a sit-down with anyone that you desired today, some great, amazing people in this world, who would it be and what would you ask them? I can think of a few people I would like to sit down and pick their minds. You know, I can think of some. But I want you to know something. There's someone whose wisdom is immeasurably beyond any mere man, and we have access to him. We can know his will and what he wants for us. We can see his character. We can understand his heart. How would I know this? Well, it's in the Word. And if one will open their heart to his words, then they can know what he wants for them. For instance, here's something. This is something that God desires for us. We can know this. This is an Awana verse. This is the Awana verse. Approved workmen are not ashamed. It's 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. This is God's will. It's God's will for you. His heart for you is to grow. His heart for you is to know his word. His heart for you is to come to maturity, see? He gives us his word for that. And I believe if a person will set their mind toward growing in Christ, toward growing in their knowledge of the word, God will, through his Spirit, grow you. It's a beautiful thing. Spirit, the word of God, he does those things. What if in 2020 I would commit or recommit my life to knowing God as revealed in his word to a deeper level? What if I would commit that? I believe God would do some pretty spectacular things. I believe he would continue to change you and continue to change me. I know something about myself. God's not done growing me. I see things in my own life, and there are things that come in my own life. You want me to name them, don't you? I'm not going to. But I see things in my own life, and I'm like, you know, that's, Lord, there's some work that needs to be done here. Those words, I don't think, were right where they needed to be. My attitude wasn't right where it needed to be. I've given you a couple. That's all you get. But see, God's word is a measuring tool. It is the thing that reproves us, that helps us. So I believe God would change me. But you know, we are part of a society that's instantaneous, right? Have you ever been with a group of people and you're wondering about something? Hey, I wonder, where'd that go? What do you do? Google it. And right then, you have the answer to the question. And I think we at times believe that growing in Christ to maturity and understanding God and so forth, it's not that. It's not instantaneous. It's going to take you being diligent to do the hard thing. So you and I have to be men and women that will commit to being students of the word. You might say, well, I don't know how I'm going to fit that in my day. Listen, friend, do we not fit in our day everything that we want to fit in our day? We do. We will make time for those things that we deem to be most important. I want to challenge each of you in this new year. I don't know what it looks like for you. I don't know if that means, well, through the day I got a phone app, a Bible app on my phone that I'm gonna take a minute or two, or maybe I'm driving or I'm in between things. I don't know how you're gonna do it. Some of you are just gonna sit down in the morning and bang, you're gonna knock it out. You're gonna take some time in a word. You're gonna maybe read a little bit of a commentary on that word. You're just gonna be steady in that way, but you're gonna grow. And I wanna say, I don't know how it's gonna work out for you, but it needs to work out for you. We want to grow you guys. We cannot do that. And God really is not going to do that unless you're going to commit yourself to be in the Word. It's got to happen some way. So however it works out, go listen to him. So his will is that you become a student and grow in the Word, to present yourself approved to God as a workman. It does not need to be ashamed, rightly or accurately holding or dividing the word of truth. So Jesus is saying here, John 17:17, sanctify them or set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. So when you want to hear from an all-knowing, all-powerful, perfectly holy God, open his word. Open his word. Now, if you want to hear him speak verbally to you, read it out loud. Read it out loud. So, see, the word has to be that which is central in our life if our relationship with God is going to grow and be what it needs to be. Often people will pray more than they will listen to God in his word. But you know what? If you and I are saying, I love the Lord, he is my God, he's my Savior, my King, and so forth, and I never open the word to listen to him, or I never take in the word in some way, we are so off balance in this relationship, and we can't expect that we're going to be where we need to be with him if we're not listening to his perfect word. So I want to challenge you in that in this coming year. Start somewhere. Start somewhere. I've done a lot of different ways I've approached this. Sometimes I will read 10 chapters a day. A lot of people can't do that. I can do that. I have an office. I'm a pastor. I can take time. I've been there. I've done other things as well. I don't do that every day. But all I'm saying is start somewhere. Start somewhere. Start the Gospel of John, the book of Philippians. Start somewhere and open it and say, God, speak to me. And I believe he will. Jesus is saying, sanctify them in thy truth. Your word is truth. The word of God sanctifies. In his high priestly prayer, our Lord's desire for those who know him is to be set apart, to be sanctified by the word of God. Jesus is praying that the word would dramatically shape the thinking of his disciples and us. This is his desire. It's his prayer for those who know him. So, God's word, by the word, God sanctifies. And he sanctifies us, I think, in a number of ways here that I want to touch on. I want to talk about our thinking. I want to talk about our convictions. I want to talk about our actions. First of all, our thinking. His word moves us to think correctly and keeps us thinking correctly. His word does that. His word does that. Don't miss this. Our society and the thoughts of man have a dramatic impact on what we think. We all are impacted by what's going on around us. My thinking needs to come in line with what God wants, not what the world preaches. On what, you might say? Well, whatever we'd be considered doing, agreeing with, or participating in. God's word has something to say to every issue of life, either directly or by principle. Decisions we are pondering need to be bathed in the word of God. It needs to shape our minds and our thinking. I love Psalm 1:1-3. Listen to this and notice about this man what is said. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. It's out there. Many Christians are walking in the counsel of the wicked. We want to walk in the counsel of God. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. In other words, this individual is taking in the word of God, being shaped by the word of God. They love it. Now, all of you today, you either are going to, you will eat, I believe, and drink. You're going to hydrate and you're going to feed your body. Why? Because your body must have that to function. For a believer, he needs to take something into the soul to feed it from God. It's his word. This individual in Psalm 1, he delights in the law of the Lord. That's his delight. We delight in a lot of things. Oh, we like talk about those things, right? You Packer fans are delighting in something right now. Something us Lions fans don't delight in very much at all. There are things we delight in. Hunting, fishing, a new car, whatever it is. But listen, there shouldn't be nothing that is a greater delight to us than hearing from the God of heaven. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. He never gets far from him. He will be, okay? This is one who takes in the word. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. There's blessing there as we delight, take in the word. Don't get far from it at all. Make sure it's part of your day. Romans 12, 1 and 2 helps us in our, you know, to think this through. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. That's the response of every believer to the grace of God. We're his. Here's our bodies. We do ministry, life in these bodies. Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now notice verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is. How would I know that? You'll know that by hearing from him, by being in the word, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Another psalm, Psalm 19, 9 through 11. Listen to this. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. You'll never get a better word than you'll get in the Bible. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. And then verse 10, they are more desirable than gold. What? Yeah. More desirable than whatever monetary thing you could stack it as high as you want. You're empty without the word and the word's impact on your life. Yes, more desirable than gold, yes, but much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. There it is again. I love the word. Oh, it's sweet. What would I compare it to? Honey. Maple syrup. Whatever. It's sweet. It's so good to take in. Better than the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, here it is. By them your servant is warned. Something you're going to get here at Bark Grove Bible Church. There are times you're going to be warned. We're not all about patting you on the back. We want to be as positive as we can. But you know what? The Bible has both great encouragement, great warnings in it. By your servant is warned. In keeping with them, there is great reward. There it is. See, God wants to impact our thinking. And if you think about life, if you consider life, everything you do, every attitude you have, every action you take, every conviction you hold, they come from something. Either your own thinking, the world's thinking, something like that, or they come from the Word of God. You want it to come from the Word of God. So, by the Word, God sanctifies us in our thinking, but in our convictions. By conviction, I'm referring to the things where we are believing and hold to. For instance, one's conviction on how to conduct themselves in the workplace, how to treat others, whether or not I should be forgiving someone or seeking revenge, are all a result of one's convictions, but they come from one's thinking. God wants his ideas, seen in his word, to be that which moves us to a place of obedience in our actions and joy in our hearts. Every one of us hold convictions. Every one of you right out there, you've got convictions on everything. The question is, do those convictions hold up to what God has revealed in his word? You'll never get better insight than you will when you hear God speak. The times we really don't believe it, though. We see it in the word, we really don't believe it. We won't say that. We won't say that, but our convictions will allow something, someone, to move us to a different place than God's word because of perhaps fear of what others would think of us or so forth. But we need to keep coming back to the light of the word of God. So God, by the word, God sanctifies us. He sets us apart in our thinking, in our convictions, and in our actions. Interactions. One's actions result from one's convictions, which manifest themselves in our choices we make in everyday life. The life we live, the actions that we take come from our thinking. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I need to have God's word consistently remind me of the truth. What do the words, for example, when I speak, when I'm in the workplace, when I'm around other, what do my words reveal about what my convictions are and what my thinking are? You know, I want to challenge you guys in this week just to examine your actions, your thinking, your convictions. You know, as you go through your day, you are receiving counsel in your own mind. You and I counsel ourselves. That counsel ought to be aligned with God's word. So as you go through your week, you know, at some point, as you take your day goes on, what am I believing right now? What am I thinking? Is this in line with what the Lord would have? Jesus is saying in this text, he's asking the Father to sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. You know the men that Jesus was around? They took in his word. They got to see him. They got to hear him. They saw his convictions and so forth. He spoke to them, and did it make an impression? Acts 4:13, it states this. It's about Peter and John. And those outside of their realm and who were opposed to the gospel, they got to see these two guys. Notice what it says. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, understood that they were uneducated and untrained men. They didn't go to the highest schools in the land, the greatest seminaries. No, they couldn't do that. They had, notice what it says, they were uneducated, untrained men, but they were amazed and began to recognize them as what? Having been with Jesus. See, his influence, his impact made a dramatic difference in their lives. The Word of God will do that. So I want to ask some questions here of myself. Am I taking time to hear from God? I'll listen to ball games. I'll take in this political show or whatever it is, this commentary. Am I taking time to hear from God? I'll look at Facebook, social media. Am I taking time to listen to God? And what impact is the Word of God having on my thinking, my convictions, and my actions? Am I allowing him to speak to me in those areas? And is that making a difference? It ought to be. It ought to be that those that are around us see someone who is uncompromising on God's word, just like Jesus was. Are you someone who will not bend to the ungodly demands of the world like Jesus? Are you someone who will be loving and kind but firm like Jesus? What amount of time are you giving to God to speak to you? This is important. What amount of time are you giving God to speak to you? Are you reading it? Are you listening to it? Are you considering it? Furthermore, here it is. Will you humble yourself to letting God be in his word be the determining factor in those convictions that you hold dear? Last thought. We're going to pray and finish with a song. May our lives be so impacted and defined by the Word of God that others see the character of Jesus in us. There it is. May his Word impact us to the degree that we look and sound a lot like our Savior. Let's pray. Loving Father, you've called us sheep. We're not the brightest. We stray like sheep. We are fearful like sheep. We follow our own thinking like sheep. And yet here you are. You've laid out this delicious meal of your word that feeds the soul so we can become all you've called us to be. I pray that our heart would be there for this coming decade, for this coming year, if Jesus would tarry, that in 2020 we would be all about allowing you through your word and the Spirit's ministry of that word in our hearts to shape us and make us to be more like Jesus. We pray this for your glory and great name. Amen.